I need more water. He's talk a little bit.
Is that your time?
You gonna rap again? You gonna freestyle?
Yeah.
Not set.
Yeah.
I say, yo, the deer hunter.
What?
We're supposed to be trading, bro.
Oh, wait.
The deer hunter.
I am the spear bummer.
What?
I don't know.
The spear. Whoa.
You trash.
I spear bums.
Whoa. Yeah, whoa.
Pierce bums.
Okay, first we got to do Tracer's daily daily visit for the episode.
What's happening?
Oh my god. Let's do this thing. Let's go.
Sure.
So, welcome
everybody back.
No, I already started.
What? You didn't say
it.
You didn't
How's
say
it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode here on the Untitled Mixtape. Oh, I'm, of course,
almost said easy.
Joined with Lorenzo.
Hey.
Oh, he's all over.
And Lewis.
Yo.
And I am Danko. And welcome back. I hope everyone is having a good day. I hope your drive and your commute is lovely.
Hold on. Danko, that's dope. I need one.
You need a cool name?
No. See, this is the rule. You need to be given the nickname.
Oh.
Because Danko was given to me. It was a gift.
Oh.
And so I just kept it. My full name was Bulldozer Danko, but I kind of dropped Bulldozer because I'm not a violent person. So I just dropped it. And it's just Danko.
Can't fact check that. We don't know that.
You can. I can text my friends right now.
No, we don't know if you're
Bulldozer. Don't do it.
We don't know if you're crazy, bro.
I am a sweet ball of friendship. And I've never yelled at anyone.
Those are the craziest ones.
Never yelled at anyone in my life.
Please.
Okay.
I've never threatened anybody.
Well, I guess we're just lying to the whole world now. That's fine.
I've never punched a person.
All 26 of our viewers.
I've never tackled anybody. I've never beat someone up because of a girl.
What?
In middle school.
Because she broke my heart.
Because she dumped me for him.
That didn't happen.
Oh, you're right. That didn't happen. We're friends now. We're good.
Oh, shit.
Anyways, welcome back to another episode here on the Untitled Mixtape. We're doing part 3 of the Deer Hunter series, The Listening Room. And so we got a lot. We've gone through a lot of story already. Like, we got an hour and a half of content just stewing. If you haven't listened to those, I definitely recommend you do. If you haven't listened to the albums, 100%.
You better.
Go listen to them.
You better.
They're amazing. I enjoy it. Lewis enjoys it. Lorenzo enjoys it.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Now, excuse me. Sorry. Talking a lot is tiring. But thank you guys so much for joining us. So who's ready to talk about Act 3?
Both of you are.
No, you're ready.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you a story.
Okay. I'm listening.
Okay. I do recommend you do listen to it.
I'm going to anyway. Because I'm already on this ride.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll do Act 2 recap because Act 1 we talked about. I mean, you know, Mystery escapes and she dies. So she dies. So Act 2 is Mystery finally passes and the boy goes off to the city and meets Miss Leading.
What do you do?
I got this.
He fell in love with her. They had their first time. He had his first time with her, blah, blah, blah.
And then he sought a pimp. He got one job.
Yeah, he got
driving this girl around. Like, man, we in love. Like, I love you and I'm pretty sure you love me. And then guess what this chick do?
What she do?
Man, she left a scarf in the car. Ooh, he went to go give it back to her. Guess what he found? He found that girl with another dude.
What?
She don't love him. He mad. And then he tells her. He tells her in a very wordy letter saying like, damn, I was down for you, but you weren't down for me, girl. Like, wow. Wow. Really? Really? Wow. Like, damn, you right. I don't love
like,
you.
Like, for real?
Like, for real? Like that? Like, damn. And then this boy off reading his own letter, all up in his simps. And then he was like, you know what? Screw the city. Screw the lake. I'm going to war. I'm going to kill people because my heart broken.
I don't even think Casey will ever meet us, ever.
No, he will. Casey, you like this story, right? Who you like these, the way I tell this?
Who are these scary people?
He's going to be my ghostwriter.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you're gonna be crazy. Did you email him? No?
Don't worry about it.
Email? He texted him.
So there you go. After the worst breakup of the century, the boy goes off to war. And guess where this starts? In the Great War.
The Great War is what?
World War One.
Yeah.
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 So this is we know where our historical fiction takes place. We are during World War One, and we start off with, of course, not an instrumental this time, but with the oracles. And the oracles have some stuff to say.
I ain't gonna listen.
Yeah, at this point, it don't even matter. It matters not what they have to say.
You didn't listen. We're just going to tell you anyway. So, this is essentially the introduction is they tell the boy to leave the place he is going because it is filled with death and misery, and you will need a mask to breathe. They tell the boy of their warnings, and they've tried so hard to give him, and they realize the uselessness of this, for his path is set and there's nothing they can do. And that is the first song, is essentially the oracles giving him one last chance to, you know, just leave. But they're like, he's not gonna listen, so the boy is off in war. So just as a kind of historical point, I guess you could say, this is the beginning of the Great War, and the boy is in the middle of it. He is obviously, I'm assuming, what did I say, France? Yeah. So this, we think it takes place in France, so where he's in the part of the Allies, just for a little historical point, so he's not part of the bad guys. So now a soldier out of millions, he watches his allies dying right beside him. His entire battalion, his entire squad is getting wiped out from the other side. The boy is scared and recalls the time he enlisted. His companions tell him that the misery was brought by the politicians who sought power and destruction.
Typical.
And they are nothing but pawns in their games of chess.
Damn you, government.
Yeah. And we're going to see one of the like, what makes this album amazing is it's these pawns, these soldiers, blaming the big guys. And I'm not talking just about politicians. They blame God. They blame otherworldly entities. They blame themselves. They blame the other side. We see a lot of pleading to the sky and hoping for an answer, because no one has one. And no one did in World War One. World War One was really brutal because there were a lot of tactics. There were a lot of things that people just wondered why they did it to each other. This album really plays, Casey does a really good job in showing, like, not just the boy's story, but the atrocities of war and how it plays in the world. And so, like, very clever, Casey. Like, he's really good at, you know, doing that double meaning where he explains just what we think is a singular story, but we're getting the whole picture. And so
basically he got bars.
Yeah, that's right. So the boy watches the death around him. The battle luckily ends and the boy survives on the back of a truck that carries the soldiers to another battlefield. The boy recalls his time spent with misleading, which is pretty much his only saving grace at this point.
Simp.
Regardless of what she essentially did to him. He remembers stuff like her eyes, her beauty,
ugh.
But he also remembers all the lies that was packaged in with it.
There you go.
So he remembers, so that misleading thought kind of like reminds him why he's in the situation he is right now, and what he was running away from. He's pretty much trying to find himself. He's trying to find who he is as a person, because he was a shut-in with his mother, And he was essentially a shut-in when he was with Misleading. Because he only followed her.
That's so gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, she hurt him bad to the point he's like, you know what? I'm gonna go shoot people.
Yeah. Like, pretty much. Like, I'm gonna go to war.
Like, this is my only option.
Yeah.
I need to vent, like, with a gun.
Yeah. So essentially, the deer hunter hasn't had any time to kind of find himself. He doesn't know who he is.
He jumped from one gnarly situation to another.
Pretty much. He doesn't have an identity, is what he's trying to find. So he is off to war now.
That's crazy.
So then we go into what it means to be alone. So we have... Man. It is a good song. It is a good song. So we have the boy going with his troops through a battlefield of fallen bodies. He sees the faces of the dead and kind of wonders what their last moment was. Then we get people starting to beg for the relief of pain. The boy wonders if God is here to answer their prayers, and he realizes that he is truly alone here. Approaching one of the bodies of the dead with their hands in the air, looking as if they were screaming in agony, the boy is pulled from the hole and artillery falls. The boy and the platoon dodge bombs as they dive into a hole to escape the shells. It is super quiet towards the end of the song. And towards the end, right the last like 10 seconds, there's a sound of some kind of machine approaching. And that machine is the tank. Yes, the first iteration of the tank. Obviously, I mean, if you've never seen a tank before, this is a terrifying sight to behold.
It's like the new car Elon Musk just made.
Yeah, it's essentially that, but back in the day.
One that doesn't, whose windows don't break, but they break.
So, they don't. It was a bad. It was a. I don't want to talk.
It was a mock-up.
It was a mock-up. Yeah. So the tank is. So what you'll notice about this album is it's not just the boy singing this time, or it's not just one character singing. It's the troops. It's the soldiers. You'll hear them as the chorus. You'll hear them in the background, which is amazing. And so the tank releases hell on the boy's unit. As the soldiers pray to their god, how could he allow such atrocities? The tank's god is smiling at the red across the battlefield. The boy decides to abandon this venture of the Great War and runs off into the woods to leave his units to die. So... once again,
he ain't even about it.
The boy has escaped.
He ain't even about it. Like, he's, you know, not what? I changed my mind.
Yeah.
I was just kidding.
I'm good. She ain't hurt me that bad.
The boy has ran so far. The boy has ran from his home. He's ran from Misleading. And now he's ran from the war. So now we're kind of seeing how everything's playing out, who the boy is. In retrospect, and obviously, like, his name is the boy. Like, he never gets his name changed until later, but he's still a boy. Like, he never grew out of it. He hasn't, like, again, he hasn't found himself. He's running away from his problems because he doesn't know how to deal with them. His mother never taught him because she protected him from everything, and so now he's constantly running, and now he's abandoned his troops, well, his unit, which is crazy. I like this song a lot. The Tank is an amazing song because it's just this... It's brutal. It's a brutal song. It's saying the matter of moments till your body is debris. Say a prayer. You've stained your skin and I won't stick around long enough to count the hearts that hit the ground. Damn. So long ago was I one of them. And so this is the boy kind of like screaming to God, like, how could you allow this? How could you do this? I'm not gonna stay for this. And so he moves on. Arm and iron conquer heart and soul, which I love. I love that. His like man and machine is just great. So he runs off to the woods, and now we're going to get a really hero's circle, or what is it called? The hero's journey. This is really a hero's journey because he's about to meet a lot of people. So the first person he meets is the Poison Woman. Now, this song is dope. And this is this style is going to show up a lot of how the song is played out. But the boy comes across his first symbolic character, the Poison Woman, who takes no side in the war currently happening. She poisons all her victims by giving them drinks. She has no remorse or grief from who she kills and is indifferent. She gives the boy a vial of poison, urging him to take it, to leave behind all of the atrocities, all the pain that she can see in his eyes. It's very interesting. It's very interesting to see that she does not kill the boy, but instead gives him poison to one day use if the war is too much for him. The boy leaves the poison woman and runs into his next symbolic character. He goes into this shady little hut. He meets the poison woman, and she kind of tells her story about, like, I don't take sides. Whoever comes into my bar, I give them a drink. They die. I care nothing of them. She has no remorse for killing people. That's her characteristic.
Dang.
The fact that she has no feelings towards death or feelings towards taking another life.
Dang, she numb.
Yeah. And so this kind of... why I called it a symbolic character is because all the people he starts to meet, he starts to really change after each
encounter.
After each encounter, thank you. And then we kind of see that in his characteristics as he starts to move on towards the album. But the next symbolic character is the thief. And the thief, we can hear marching as it transitions songs. He's still kind of outside of the outskirts of the battlefield, but he can hear that the war is still raging on. The boy is deep in the forest, but he can still hear the sounds of war. The boy finds the thief and asks where the direction to camp is, and the thief obliges. He tells him where it is, but he says maybe you should spend the night because it is getting pretty late. So he spends the night discussing the morality of war. The thief loots the valuables of dead bodies, and the boy is angered, saying that it's wrong. So the thief says that there's no time for morality in times of war. The valuables will just go to waste anyway. That in times like this, it's all about survival, not what is right. That's the second symbolic character that the deer hunter goes through. The thief kind of teaches him that what's the point of morality in this time of war? Like, things will just go to waste. You don't know when you're going to die.
Yeah, that's a crazy mindset to have.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the only mindset to have.
Pretty much, yeah. Just throw your morality out the window. Just like the Oracle said, throw your morals out the door.
Yeah.
During the Oracles of Delphi Express in Act 2. He, you know, like, at first, the boy sees him as a criminal. But towards the end of the song, like, he just keeps asking, like, what? Why are you doing this? Like, what's the point? And he says, love seems barren when cash is king, and like wealth here for the bleeding, what good will bring? I mean, he's right. The deer hunter at this point has to realize, who's gonna care? Like, who's gonna care if I take something from someone who's dead? At this point, the bodies are piling up, man. They're piling up. It's just gonna get lost. This album is really dark because, you know, the atrocities of war itself is rough.
It's my favorite one.
Yeah. Your favorite album so far?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we come into Mustard Gas, which is another lethal thing that they created during World War I. It was awful. It pretty much killed people. It made people blind. It gave people breathing problems. It was bad. And so in order to get back to his camp after his meeting with the thief, he crosses a battlefield. He needs to cross this battlefield. As the deer hunter does, he avoids enemy fire until the mustard gas comes. The gas proves to be too powerful and makes the boy pass out, but somehow he makes it to the other side. This song is pretty much, you know, cruelty of war, how both sides know no morality, but they are fighting for what they believe is right. Mustard gas being one of the worst possible weapons created, we can hear soldiers chanted, we would be better off without this. Who would allow this? This is terrible. And then we get, of course, the chant, you're on the other side, you're on the other side, which means the deer hunter made it. He made it to his camp. He has survived gunfire. He's survived tanks. He's survived mustard gas. What can the deer hunter not survive, you know? This guy seems unstoppable to me. Like the Terminator.
Thanos?
He's Thanos.
Thanos? I don't think Thanos could stop this dude.
Only emotional. He can only take emotional hurt, no physical.
Yeah. So, of course, the deer hunter passes out from the mustard gas, but he knows he made it to the other side, and we get into the song Saved. The boy, in pain, recalls that the life he's lived so far, as he has the past like 20 billion songs. The pain he has within him and the pain he has physically, he wants to die and decides this is it. He will die here in the middle of the war. As he closes his eyes one last time, someone picks him up from the ditch, a man who looks like him. The Allies approach, gaining ground from the battle, and the man carries the boy to their side of the camp. The man known only as the Sun befriends the boy.
I like this part.
Yeah. Going on to the next song, which, when you have the story in full grasp, let me just say, this next song just blows your mind about what's about to happen. So, the next song is He Said He Had a Story. Now, it's dark. The boy and the Sun are amongst a group of soldiers as they recall interesting stories in their lives to pass the time. The leader of this squadron tells the tale of a night spent in the dime with a woman known as Miss Tyree. He goes into detail on how his experience was amazing, even though Miss Tyree was suffering the whole time. The boy's attention is grabbed and asks for the man's name. Now, this song is rough because the commander, this captain, is recalling this night with Miss Tyree, all right? And he doesn't remember her name. And this sets the deer hunter off because he finally remembers it at the end, and it all kind of clicks with the deer hunter about the dime. I've been to the dime. And then his mother's name is mentioned. And then it all comes flooding back to him of what his mother must have been protecting him about. Yeah. This song is rough to listen to. Let me tell you. It's detailed. It's detailed on what she did. It must have been many, many years ago because she's going like, please be soft and sweet to me. This life has not been good, you see. It's hard with such a history, buried in misery. And he goes, and it's like, good. And then he just goes, I broke a smile, reminding that I paid her well. And then I felt her hands unbuckling my belt. And it's like, oh, it felt like heaven, but I'm sure she was in hell. So to hear your mother, to hear your mom, Miss Tyree, suffering this guy in front of you, it must be like maddening, honestly, because like you're hearing about your mom essentially getting raped, you know, like it's rough. It is a very intense song.
She sounds like a sweet lady.
Yeah. That's the song I had you listen to.
Yeah.
So he asks for the man's name. He kind of obliges. I don't think I have a real song, a real name for him, but we go into this beautiful lie. The boy learns that the captain of the squadron is the Sun's father, the Sun who saved him from the battlefield. And noticing how the father looks like the boy, he comes to the realization that it's his father and the Sun is his half-brother. The father is a terrible man who lives without morals. The soldiers have pride in him. The boy is embarrassed to be connected to him and keeps the secret to himself. So he's coming to the realization that that's his dad. He finally found his dad in the midst of this war and finds out what a terrible person he is, just like his first father figure, the pimp.
This boy got no guidance. Yeah. And the only guidance that he has, the oracles, is he's not listening to.
Yeah, the oracles. He's like, wow. Get out of here, old man. Old men. The war continues, and the boy recalls the prophecy he heard from the oracles and finally regrets the decision he's made, wanting nothing more than to go home to the cabin upon the lake and forget the war and the pain he has endured so far. Knowing he cannot go back, he presses on with his squadron toward another battle, and we get to go get your gun. So, the Allies and the squadron in particular that the boy is in have seen so many losses so far. Everyone is demoralized. Everyone is just, they don't want to fight anymore. They don't want to die, essentially. And they're going off to battle with the boy's father. They're at a bar, and the Sun begins to sing an old war song, mourning the loss of the life of his fellow allies, hoping they will understand the sacrifice of life will benefit their country, but only if they win. If they give up now, then they lose the war. The boy only sees the father seeing how vile of a man he is. Everyone is pretty much like, this guy's amazing. This guy's great. Like, oh man, I love our captain. He's the best. I love him. And the boy is like, this guy is a shithead. Like, I hate this guy so much.
I hate everything.
Like, he's my dad and I hate him, you know, like stuff like that. So he's starting to hate his father even more. Even to the point where he just can't stand to look at him. He kind of does this duality because the son, the one who saved him from the battlefield, is so amazing. He's so upbeat. He's so caring and he's so loving. Whereas the father is just the complete opposite. He's the polar opposite. He's just a shitty person.
He's a jerk off.
He's a jerk off. And so, like, there's the duality again, you know, like the son and the father. It's just, which, of course, is another play on words for the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. Who have they been pleading to this whole time?
Oh my God.
The Father.
It's all yin and yang with this dude.
Yeah. Like, Casey, like, it's brilliant. I don't, honestly, you know, I'm coming to the realization right now. I don't know if he's confirmed this or not, but, like, God is the Father in religion, right? They pray to this Father of how they could allow this, but they still pray to him. Whereas these soldiers look up to the Father, the captain, like that, like the Father, like
symbol.
Yeah, like symbolism. There you go, symbolism. The anchor. It's the holds stuff down. That's the last episode joke. I shouldn't have done that. So now we go to the next song, Son. During a battle, the boy and the son fight side by side. In the trenches. They huddle together and share a bond of companionship. Suddenly, another barrage of bullets flies into the trenches, and the son jumps in the way to save his father from getting hit. The boy tries to call for a medic, only to be grabbed by the father, telling him to forget about him, that it's time to advance. The son, bleeding out, tells the boy that he is dying, and his only regret is that his mother will be heartbroken over the loss of her son. He knew that his father never loved him, even though he followed him to war. He tells the boy to take care of him, and as for his mother, his final breath is said, "You look like me."
What? Yo, that's, and then I say that all the time.
And then he dies.
To just random people.
Yeah.
Well, it's his half-brother, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
You look like me.
I hate it when, like, you say me. That. Lewis says that to, yeah, like, everybody. Wild, he'd be like, "You look like me." Like, what does, like, that?
Shut up. You look like me.
So the son's final realization is that the boy may so well be his brother. And he didn't find out till his very last breath. And then we go into...
Bro, that's spooky, bro.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then the father, the next song. Following the death of the son, the boy sees the actions of the father. He lives without morals, does not care of his family, and revels in his vices. He takes pride in it. He doesn't care that his son was killed, and he continues to move forward, telling the same disgusting stories that he was telling that one night. Yeah, he cares nothing. Care. He doesn't care. And so the boy now knows what he needs to do. The night in the camp, the boy takes the vial of poison he received from the poison woman and poisons his father in his sleep.
Good.
He was meant to come to this war to kill this one enemy and cut off the last of his family. And
that's
then
crazy.
He's the remaining bloodline. With the last song, Life and Death, the soldiers learn of the father's death, and the boy, under his new identity of the son, decides to leave himself dead in the battlefield. The thoughts of war is told through the dead soldiers, but the boy remains alive. He will return home to live a new life with the mother, keeping the memory of the son alive through this new identity. So,
this is half brother died. He took his identity and he's like, "You know what? This is my life now."
Yep.
This is me.
Since everyone who knows the boy's true identity is dead, he can go back as a new man. No harm, no foul.
I don't know. Running away doesn't seem like it's been a good idea so far.
He looked like me.
Yeah.
He can go back to a new mom, matters. You know? He can go back to a new mom. Maybe some new friends. It'll be great.
He said, "You?
Yeah, me.
Hey, Captain, you?
It's a Disney movie.
Y'all look like me."
So, now, a couple things. So he's taken on the role, a new identity. He's run away from himself. Now, let's list it again. He's run away from his home. He's run away from his mom's past. He's run away from misleading. He's run away from the war. He's run away from himself. That's five things. He's done it five times already. Oh, he's run away from the oracles. That's six. That's crazy. So he's constantly running away.
Told you, he's Thanos, bro.
Thanos.
Thanos.
So that's the end of Act 3. We are stuck with he's going home as the son. He's going home with a new identity. He is according to reports now, the deer hunter is dead. He's dead. He died in war. And now he's coming back as his half-brother. His father, he's killed his father, so he is the last remaining person to be around.
What mental state is this kid in, bro?
Yeah. Yeah. So now...
It seems pretty good.
So he returns
stable.
Home.
Stable.
Just like Vital Vessels Vindicate, the last song is him going to switch scenery, which he's going back to the city. He's going back. And under a new identity. And that's it. That's Act 3. That's Act 3!
Bro.
That's so crazy.
Yeah? How'd you like my storytelling? Did I do good?
Yeah. Okay, it was good. Man, that's kind of wild, though. He just, like, loses people, and then he's like, now I'm going to take people.
Yeah. Like,
his freestyle game is crazy. Like, on the fly, he's like, you know what? This me now.
This me.
He dead. This me now. I got to kill my dad.
Yeah.
Then you see his stepbrother dies. He's like, you don't need this ID anymore. This is me.
We've come so far.
We look alike.
We have. That's kind of wild.
Wow. We have two more.
Oh, I'm a little sad now.
Yeah.
That we're more than halfway done.
Yeah.
I'm terrified.
This is a crazy journey.
I don't know what to expect, honestly.
Yeah. And I'm going to
become the pimp.
What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. What do you think is going to happen?
What I think? Man.
Bro, I don't know. Now that he's...
Sounds like he's going to kill, like, he's gonna kill know, the mother bro. Too for no reason.
I don't know.
Got a whole furnished house. You don't need to live here anymore. You know what I did?
So you think he's going to kill
you know
the
what
mother?
I did. No, I don't think so. But I feel like he's going to go live with his mother and he's actually going to find himself. Hmm. And then
how are you going to find yourself if you're dead?
What?
He's dead,
fine.
Dude.
He's dead. He's dead. What do you mean you're going to find yourself?
What are you talking about? This is the son now.
He's the son now.
He's gone. Exactly.
Man, he's going to find himself. I feel like he's going to find himself and then he's going to know exactly what he wants to do.
And then
what? He's going to kill the pimp and he's going to burn that whole city down.
He's going to do like a gender reveal. Like, hey guys.
A gender reveal?
It's me.
It's me.
I'm back.
Not him.
The flame is but gone. Me. The fire remains.
I mean, that guy.
I mean, that guy was me.
That guy that looks like me. Like, no. I was him, and then now I'm me.
Everybody's like, what are you saying? What are you doing? So.
I don't know. I'm like, always hopeful for, like, love. I'm a softie.
Yeah.
I, like, low-key hope he, like, gets with misleading, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Bro, there's no telling.
You don't know?
At this point, I'm just rolling with it.
He's going to kill the mother and then become the mother.
I'm going to read the sneak peek,
huh?
The titles and stuff.
Oh, okay. Do it.
So, Act 4, Rebirth and Reprise.
Rebirth. Oh, he found himself?
He rebirthed to the sun. He's never going to find himself. He's going to be an emo boy for the rest of his life. That's mean. I'm sorry.
He's not an emo boy. He'd be killing. He's a bulldozer.
Bulldozer. So, Rebirth, The Old Haunt, Waves, At the End of the Earth, Remembered, A Night on the Town, Is There Anybody Here, The Squeaky Wheel, The Bittersweet 4 and 5, The Congregation and the Pimp, and the Priest, sorry. The Bittersweet 6, The Conclusion, Abandon, King of Swords Reversed, If All Goes Well, The Line, Wait, and Ouroboros.
That didn't help me at all.
I know. No. I know. This time, it's Ouroboros. More cryptic. It's more cryptic than it usually is.
I don't know. Maybe the birth was already cryptic.
Yeah.
Birth.
The birth. But yeah.
Ship. Get out of here.
That's Act 4. And so what we're going to do is, I don't want to read Act 5's titles because they are more telling. And I know that we're going to do two episodes a month. So, like, just know that we're going to listen to Act 4. I'm going to write up the notes this time, I promise. I forgot to write the notes this time. And so I fell off, but that's okay. And then we're going to read Act 4 and then we're going to go through it. And then we'll be recording Act 5 right after, which is essentially the conclusion, but it isn't. So yeah, we're going to be doing Act 5 as well next month. So yeah, get ready for the conclusion of the listening room for this concept albums. It's been fun so far.
Bro, we're supposed to follow up like with something conceptual like this.
I mean, we could go straight to Coheed and Cambria. That story is long. Oh my God. Long. Its story is long. But
I don't know, we still got two more albums.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad about it, but
yeah. And I'll definitely find, if people like this, let us know. If you like this kind of series, let us know. Like, message us on Instagram, message us
Facebook.
On Facebook. We have a Facebook, The Untitled Mixtape, and that's the same on Instagram. We also have an email at theuntitledmixtape@gmail.com if you want to send us some questions. Rate us, review us, show us to your friends if you think they would enjoy something like this.
And feel free to send like song suggestions that you guys want us to like depict, or album suggestions.
Yeah, even if it's yours.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's your music, that'd be cool too.
We'd love that. And we just appreciate you guys, and you know, we love you. We love you so much. All right. Anyways,
you know who loves the Deer Hunter?
Who?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Wow.
Until now.
Oh my God.
Mother's love. Fake mother's love.
As
the Deer Hunter's dead.
No, yeah, it's the Sun now. It's the Sun. That's the band name now. Imagine. Can you imagine if they changed the name?
Like, you know what?
That'd be wild.
Welcome to
the Deer Hunter, the Sun.
But yeah, thank you guys so much. Shout out to the rest of the network, EZXP Podcast for the gaming podcast, Bonus Commentary for the movie podcast, Chit Show Podcast for the general talk, and of course us, wherever you're listening to. You can find all the other podcasts on the same platform. Make sure to rate us, review us on Apple Podcasts if you're listening on there, or share, or everything. Anything helps. Put us on your favorites. We love it. So we'll see you guys next time.